Come on into our Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. October the 30th, tomorrow, Halloween.
You getting dressed up?
I haven't thought about it. I will be doing the show at the Treasure Chest Casino tomorrow.
How many people you're going to see dressed up.
I might be needing to head to the casino in a outfit for tomorrow night. I'm going to have to come up with something on the fly, though. I don't have anything planned. Steve Geller along with Cullen Steele here, bringing it till 8 o'clock this evening. At 8:30, you'll get into pregame coverage. Pelicans taking on the Warriors tonight. Game number two, they had a tough defeat last night. Tip-off again will be 9 o'clock on the AM and FM side of things. And man, oh man, we knew that Steph Curry wasn't playing in this last game, along with a few other Warriors. The Pellies couldn't take advantage of that. And still, this Golden State squad ended up shooting a bunch of three-pointers without even the magic man Steph in the lineup.
Yeah, and like I mentioned earlier about how, you know, the death blow might have been the fact that we didn't shoot enough threes. I think the reason we didn't shoot enough threes is we were scared to, because guess what? We had 23 turnovers last night. The Warriors had 7. That is what did us in. That might be the death blow. I mean, yeah. And we also look at the three-pointers. I'm looking at it right now. We weren't shooting that bad. We shot 9 for 22. You know, Zion was 1 for 2. Herb Jones was 1 for 2. Brandon Ingram was 3 for 6. Like, it's the argument against shooting three-pointers might be that if we shoot a bunch, we'll miss a bunch. But it's like, we weren't missing a ton. We just didn't shoot a ton.
Looking at the Pelicans for tonight, I know the injuries are starting to pile up for this squad. Herb Jones, he's got a right shoulder strain out. C.J. McCollum's got a right adductor soreness.
Mm-hmm.
He is out for this matchup. And we also know, obviously, no Trey Murphy and no DeJounte Murray in this game as well.
With
so
Hawkins, possible.
Hawkins not looking very good for tonight either. So,
well, you know, we'll see. Hopefully we'll have something before. I'll probably be checking Twitter all throughout the 7 o'clock hour. Hopefully we'll have some news before we get off.
Obviously, yeah, Willie Green will speak a little bit before the tip off at 9 o'clock. So we'll keep an eye on that.
We have pregame starting at 8:30, so you'll know well before. But you know, at the moment it's, you know, workouts, and we'll just see how it goes. But I mean, like, I was telling Mike earlier, it was a really bad time to send Antonio Reeves and Carlo down to the G League. But right. I mean, you can't expect that, you know.
No, and with, you mentioned Jordan Hawkins, he is dealing with lower back spasms.
Mm-hmm.
Just brutal. Obviously, can't play basketball when your back or your hammy's hurting, so we'll hopefully get these guys back soon enough. With DeJounte Murray, though, you're really seeing this team struggling without him. It's sad that we got a short, slight glimpse of him, and, you know, dealing with a left hand fracture, it's going to be some time till he is back in that lineup.
Yeah, and again, if you're hearing everything we're talking about the Pelicans, you know, like, injuries, losses, please give me some good news. The two biggest things I can give you.
All right,
is
some positivity.
Okay? Misi, this has been like arguably the most consistently positive thing. It's what we've talked about at length. Not even just like game one, game two is good, game three is iffy, game four is good. No, he has been great in all of them. He has been so damn good. He is developing quickly. Everybody said that's kind of what was going to happen, but we didn't know. And this whole center by committee thing might not last as long as you think. I kind of hope it doesn't, because that means he's doing really good. The second thing showed up last night, Zion. He's finally, it looks like he's back in the form that we're expecting him to be in consistently. I know he had that illness and missed game one, and he was able to make it to game two, but, you know, game two and game three was kind of like okay-ish. But, you know, 31 points last night, he's getting back in there, and B.I. has looked.
And B.I. were the only offense last night.
Only 31 and 30 combined. So, 61 combined.
You look at everybody else, it was like 5 points.
Yeah, McCollum
4.
Had 5. Hawkins had 5. Alvarado had 6. Misi had 9.
Okay.
Third in scoring. And again, it's just like, Misi has been such a you know, bright light for this offense.
Yeah, definitely someone you consider was a developmental guy. You weren't even sure if he was going to be in the lineup to start the season. Maybe we thought being in the developmental league to start out, but has definitely made his presence felt early on, and definitely brings a smile to all Pels fans right now seeing that in action, because the offense has just been stagnant this last two games, and hopefully they can pick things up. I know you mentioned during the triple option segment with the three-pointers, who's going to end up jacking him up for this team tonight? Maybe Brandon Ingram needs to, you know, let it loose a little more. I don't know.
Because who else would you expect to play? You'll see, you know, probably Jeremiah Robinson Earl play a bit, Javonte Green play a lot. I'm expecting Alvarado to play a ton, because again, you are down out of the 8 to 9 guys, give or take, that will be in the rotation. 5 in your starting lineup, and then another 4 or 5, or they're constantly coming in and out of bench. Players that you expect to be in or around 15 to 35 minutes a night, you're missing 4 with Hawkins, possibly 5. half of the guys you're expecting to play majority of the game might not play tonight. You are digging deep into that lineup.
We got to do some research on the what's going on at the Benson campus over there with the Saints camp and Pelicans camp, obviously right next to each other on Airline Drive in Metairie. Something in the water, something in the cafeteria. What's going on with these guys that both teams are getting decimated with injuries right now? Although I'll say in the NFL, the Saints aren't the only one. You look at the Carolina Panthers injury list, it's just as extensive as the black and gold.
I'll donate my muscles. I'll donate my hamstring to Kendrick Miller.
No, we need you in here. You can't donate anything. You can't go anywhere.
I'll give my shoulder to Herb Jones.
There's no Anthony Richardson tapping out of, running the board for the show. Looking at the Saints injury list, though, we kind of got into it a little bit, but not practicing today for the Saints is Wednesday report ahead of Sunday's matchup in Carolina. You got Marshawn Lattimore dealing with a hamstring. Tyrann Mathieu's got an illness. Bub Means ankle. Kendra Miller hamstring. Rico Payton back. Cedric Wilson Jr. a hip. Everyone that I mentioned there did not practice today. Looking at the limited players, Derek Carr with his oblique was in action, limited. Juwan Johnson, a shoulder issue. Alvin Kamara, hand/rib. We'll get into Alvin, too, a little bit after this. Kool-Aid McKinstry, hamstring. Nick Saldiveri, shoulder. Jamal Williams, groin. Those guys were all limited for the black and gold. And a full go, some good news here at least. Shane Lemieux, the guard, dealing with a knee issue. Also, Nephi Sewell, welcome back. He is full go at Saints practice today, so hopefully get to see more of him in action. I know that he is a big contributor on special teams for this squad, and with all the injuries piling up, who knows? He might get some action at the linebacker slot as well.
You could tell me their third-string water boy is coming back, and I'd probably clap right now.
Shoot. All right, we'll talk to Jeff in the 7 o'clock hour. They might be shooting him up on the sideline. I don't know what Jeff could play. Maybe safety role, corner? Where would you put Jeff?
How tall is he? Taller than me. Everybody's taller than me, though. I'd probably put him in
I'd put him in the 6-foot range,
I
guess.
I'd put him in the secondary right now, especially with Lattimore being DMP and Rico Payton being DMP, and then you've got Kool-Aid being limited. We got three guys in the roster injury report. I might put him in that secondary.
Yeah, we'll see what Jeff says about that in the 7 o'clock hour. I mentioned the Panthers injuries were piling up, too.
Yep.
Not practicing for them. You got names like Jadeveon Clowney, DJ Johnson, their linebacker. A'shaun Robinson was rest, as was Clowney, so nothing too serious there. Tommy Tremble, their tight end. I feel like he didn't play in last game
that we
played the Carolina Panthers. Week one, he was out. And then Akeem Iwanuku, ankle issue, the offensive tackle. Felipe Franks, the tight end, a concussion. Limited for the Panthers, Adam Thielen, Jonathan Brooks, Jaden Crumdy.
No. Jonathan and Jaden, they were full.
I'm sorry. I was going through that too quick. Yeah, just limited was Thielen then.
Mm-hmm. In that full section, we've got, the likes of Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton, that was something that was interesting for the fact that the head coach, Dave Canales, came out right away, and also the news saying that it will still be Bryce Young under center Sunday, which I know the Cajun Cannon's happy about because he was definitely worried about Andy coming in and lighting us up.
That's the thing, though, is that I asked Mike about it. I was like, do you think Dalton might, be ready to suit up quickly with Bryce having maybe a short lease? And he was like, look, man, if it's not going good, then they might. It'd be bad if the Saints are up 10-0, 20-0, Dalton comes in and swoops out a W somehow. But just be aware that just because Dalton is starting doesn't mean he won't play.
No, that'd be interesting, too, because it's looking like when the Saints do take on the Cleveland Browns later on this season, Jameis Winston's going to be in center, so we could have a battle of taking on backups if we do see Andy Dalton getting some action on Sunday's matchup in Carolina. Right, whole bunch of revenge. Well, speaking of revenge, Derek Carr, back at practice today in limited action. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll hear what he had to say. He's coming back from this oblique injury. What exactly was it that he's dealing with? How much was it bothering him? Obviously enough to keep him out the last couple games. So we'll hear from that when we get back with Sports Talk right here on WW. I want to hear from you as well, 504-260-1870 on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Happy early Halloween, folks. We'll be right back after this on WWL.
Derek participated in practice. We had him on a little bit of a pitch count today, but he did well. And I think signs are optimistic for the weekend.
Head coach Dennis Allen there talking to the media today after practice. And Derek Carr limited but optimistic, Dennis Allen says, about playing Sunday's game. Looked good at practice. We're going to hear from Derek Carr pretty soon. What are you feeling, Cullen, about this matchup?
And, feeling good.
You think they're going to be rushing Carr back into this too soon because of what we've seen out of Rattler and Haener, or do you truly think that Derek's ready to go with that oblique injury?
It's so tricky with the oblique too, because it's not like a simple, it's not a pain scale thing. It's not like, it is physically, as simply put, just can you do it? Can you pull it off? It's not like he does it and it hurts. It's like, can he throw a ball? Can he run with the ball? Does it hurt if he tucks it?
Have you heard this audio from Carr at all?
I haven't. No.
Because it's great stuff, because you're actually saying some of the same things he did. He couldn't throw a football. He couldn't pick up his kids, for crying out loud.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's scary stuff. I mean, it wasn't the sentiment that this happened with Breeze or something like that, and he was like, I was worried I might not ever play again, because it was just like, will I ever get the feeling back that I can, or will I perpetually be able to be in a state where I just can't do it?
There's a good chunk of this Carr audio, so we're going to get right into it. Derek Carr, after today's Saints practice, looking forward to possibly suiting up Sunday against the Panthers. Here he is.
Derek, how did you come through practice today? How did you feel?
I felt great. I felt confident enough to be able to, strap it up and go today. And so the real test is, seeing how I would feel afterwards, and I feel good. And so just now let's stack some days together and, to be able to, hopefully play, this week. So, but it felt really good, to be back out there with my teammates, because watching, especially when it's tough, it sucks. You want to be out there with your guys. So it felt really nice to be back out there playing football again.
What was your functionality? Did you feel it in the torque or?
No, I feel great now. Yeah. We got to a point real late last week where I felt confident in what we were doing. We did some things on Monday, felt real confident. Tuesday, felt confident. And then today was like, all right, well, we should be good. And I felt good. And it was really that first ball, you throw in team that is a real rep. You move, you step this way, throw it that way. And, that was the test, and it felt great.
What was this process? How long did it take for you to be able to get to the point where you felt comfortable?
A good 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks maybe, to where I could actually begin to try and do the stuff I have to do. It was, a slow process, but our trainers did a fantastic job. They really did. They mapped it out for me. Said it'll be between this and this, and we got back more on the earlier side of it, but they did a great job with the plan and trusting, what I was saying and how I felt, and being able to progress that plan, and then God did what God did. He always takes care of me. It sucks having to sit there and watch when it wasn't the most painful thing I've ever dealt with. It really wasn't. It wasn't really painful. It was just a lack of being able to do my job, and so that was the most frustrating part, because I couldn't just play through it. I just literally couldn't do it. And so has been the most frustrating injury I've ever had, besides breaking my ankle and not being able to play in the playoffs, that year. But this is the most frustrating, because there's literally nothing that I could do but wait and just let it heal.
What could you not do?
Throw. sneeze, cough, hold my kids. There was a lot of things that, my daughter ran up to me like, we get home, she sees me the next morning, and she comes running up, and I went to grab her, and I was like, nope. So it was tough. I think not being able to hold my kids was probably the hardest part.
I imagine with an injury like this, there's a stage, I don't know if it's a day or a week, where you could probably throw 10-yard passes and not throw 40-yard. Like, when was that stage, and how hard was it to resist? Maybe I could go out there only.
It was a lot of people taking care of me from me, because they learned last year that, especially with the injuries and things that I had, that I would play through anything. And they learned that, you may be able to do this, but you got to be able to do what you got to do, And so our trainers, our coaching staff, Mickey, I thought they did a great job of making sure that I could get back and be ready and not have a setback. Now it's life. Anything can happen, but we believe we're in a place where there won't be a setback, because I feel good, feel confident. But there was stages. Some of the stages took longer than others, but now that we're here, it feels like it flew by, but every day felt like it was, 3 days. I remember looking at the sheet, and it was like day 14 of the injury. I was like, gosh, it felt like 30. And so, especially when the team is, not winning and things like that, it was even harder, because you just want to, even in those moments when it's the hardest, when it's not going your way, that's when it hurts you the most, because you want to be out there with your guys, in those moments, trying to rally them and, encourage them and things like that. And there's only so much you can do when you're not playing, And so you're not in the huddle, you're not on the field, every day. But yeah, there was definitely stages. Ben and them would know the stages better than I would, but yeah.
But not to put words in your mouth, so that means you're not coming back at 80%, you're coming back a lot closer to 100, or?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because this was something like, you know, if I go to rip a ball, you know, 60 yards and, you know, and it pulls, like, what's the point, you know? Like, if you do that, now again, it's football, and I don't ever want to just put that stuff out there, but, you know, anything can happen. But we feel confident, I feel confident, I've shown it, you know, that I can do those things, and, you know, now it's about just how I stack days and how it feels after that.
When Breeze had a similar injury like 10 years ago, yeah. I think he came back around the same time frame. That was preseason though. But he said later on that he felt like his mechanics suffered after he came back in that time frame. Is there any concern about that? And like, how do you alleviate maybe that happening?
Yeah, so that's part of the reason like this was the toughest injury for me. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that I came back and I was just me. I'm not overcompensating like last year with my shoulder or that, you know, just different things, man. The day I found out what it was, and we found out the time frame, and you know what I had, I'll say what I had done. I called, you know, I think I texted Drew and asked him. You know, I said, hey, I know you had this back in this, you know, year. You know, was and things like just make sure your mechanics. You know, he gave me other advice, but he's like, just don't let your mechanics suffer to just try and get back on the field, because then you know you won't feel the same. And so, you know, for me, it was about every part of the stages, every part of the process was making sure that I kept all of that right, whether it was at 5 yards, 10 yards, or, you know, 50 yards. You know, I just made sure, you know, that, you know, I have to be able to do it the right way to make sure that I don't have to do my best to make sure there's no setback.
Is there a pressure knowing that the offense has really struggled without you, or how do you not put added pressure on yourself to kind of want to be the savior of what has not worked since you've been gone?
I am no savior. There's only been one of those. And, and you know, that is not me. You know, I am here to be a great leader and to be a great teammate and to do my job to the best of my ability. And do I feel confident what I can do? Absolutely. You know, I feel confident what I can do. I feel confident in what I can bring to our team. And that's exciting, right? But, you know, to save us or anything like that, that's not me, you know. I'm going to come in and do what my guys expect me to do, you know, bring energy, bring effort, you know, like I said, be a great teammate, encourage our guys, get everybody on the same page, lock in the details, hold each other accountable. Like, we got 9 weeks that are promised to us, right? And, you know, or 10 weeks, whatever week this is, right? And there's just a full commitment just from myself to our guys. You know, when I get back, I'm going to be a psychopath. I'm going to be crazy about the details and everything because we only get one shot at this, you know. And so, you know, I don't have any promises. I don't have anything except I'll promise great effort. I'll promise, you know, long nights and early mornings, you know, to make sure that we're at our best. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back and excited to finally, you know, be back on the practice field.
Is it good to have something tangible like, hey, like, I know we've had a battle through all these injuries, you're coming back, a lot of the offensive pieces are back here for, you know, another week. Is that, I guess, encouraging for the team to see that?
Yeah, I think so. Just from what other guys were saying, I think it's encouraging. And, you know, I thought, you know, throughout all the injuries, we had a lot of young guys get a lot of great experience. And I thought our two young quarterbacks, for it being their first action against some of those defenses, did a great job. And I'm so proud of them and the work that they put in. That's a tough situation, even for a veteran to play with all those injuries and, you know, still try and move the ball and score points. That is, I've been there, and it's hard because then you got to stand up here and answer the questions, and you can't say certain things because they're, you know, just the facts are the facts. You know, it's just hard. And, you know, you put all the pressure on yourself because you still feel like when the ball's in your hand, like, no, we can still win. You know, that's how competitive we are. But I was so proud of the way that they played and the experience that they got, you know, all of our young guys that had to step up and play. So, you know, I think going through it, you know, you look at the record and it sucks, but I think we're a stronger team for it. You know, I think we're a closer team. We got more experience now with our team than we did before all the injuries. And so, you know me, I'm always going to be positive about it. But now we got to win, you know, that period, point blank. We just need to start winning and hopefully get on the right track this week.
On the right track, Derek Carr looking to start Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Oh, so long ago, week one, we saw him in action torching the Panthers, the Saints offense just rolling up and down the field. Hopefully good times are back again with Carr back under center because, Man, oh man, it has been rough, Cullen. As you know, these games, the past, you know, the six-game losing skid, the offense really has, the wheels have fallen off the last couple of games, and you knew that Spencer Rattler was struggling. Obviously, the rookie fifth-round draft pick, that's what I like to point out to people, too. It wasn't like he got a first-round quarterback under center here that got a bulk of the work in training camp. He was still kind of learning his way, finding his way with the limited snaps he was getting. Sure, there was more of the weeks leading up to game day, but just not enough under the belt for either Spencer Rattler or Jake Henner to take over that quarterback role. And then you mentioned, obviously, the issues on the offensive line with injuries. You had, you know, wide receivers that were down. Just wasn't an ideal situation. Nobody was set up for success. So thankfully, Derek Carr, a veteran, is back in the mix. Maybe the biggest crime for this Saints squad, Cullen, is not having a veteran presence at quarterback ready behind Derek Carr and relying on both Haener and Rattler to fill in that spot.
Yeah, possibly, but it may, you know this. You saw it with the Browns last year. You're seeing it with the Browns again this year. You've seen it with the Colts. You've seen it with the Vikings. You're seeing it. I mean, there is. I'm 24 years old, but in the last, I want to say 5 years, I've never seen so much investment in
backups
in QB2 and QB3.
Thanks to Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback win.
What's that? And like people are dropping like flies. It's just like injuries are every single year.
To the position they're protecting the most. It's wild.
Not even that. Just like across the league.
Oh, across the league for sure. But quarterbacks too. Just seems inane. All the injuries that have piled up for them. And it's we know with them, it's basically like flag football. You can barely touch them. But for whatever reason, they're having an issue staying on the field. And you feel like these rules are going to be catered even more to the quarterback to keep your most expensive prized possession out there.
Yeah. And it's just like you have to wonder, you know, we always talk about like, you know, if they push it to an 18-game year with like, you know, 20 weeks with a second bye week or something like that, could we see the roster?
It's going to happen.
Could we see the roster of 53 expand beyond? And I feel like you're going to do it just because you are – every single year for the past 3 or 4 years, I have never heard the phrase, the NFL has never seen this many injuries before. And it keeps increasing, and that's terrifying. And I don't really know why. I don't know. I mean, last year we had the whole, like, turf versus grass conversation,
sure.
And we're not having that this year, but we're still seeing an ungodly amount of injuries.
For me, honestly, it is the lack of training camp and conditioning that you have with your team.
Yeah.
Bobby always talks about, you know, they don't even do two-a-days anymore. Look at the guys back then. The harder you work, the harder the body is. And I think that, you know, that's one of the biggest issues is just overall preparation, conditioning. You hear so many times a lot of these players nowadays working with their individual trainers leading up to things. I think you need to be around the team with the team and doing team activities constantly. And I think that's just showing more and more nowadays. Unfortunately, it is just ripping apart teams. And obviously, when you have your top position and the quarterback going down, always a huge issue. But with Anthony Richardson, we know he suffered injuries, but now he's just being sat for his in-app play. Pretty crazy to see just the massive swings you're seeing at the position that's so important in the NFL, yet there's so little really top-tier quarterbacks, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, back to the Anthony Richardson thing again, regardless of how Flacco ends up in that position, you need to have more than just like a guy who's in his second year and a guy who's in his first year. Like you have to have some investment beyond that. That's kind of why, like, we had Winston around. We don't have him anymore, obviously, but you're seeing this. I mean, that's the reason why you've got Patrick Mahomes, and then you've got, like, a 10-year guy behind him, and then, like, a rookie behind him. You have to have someone who, when the going gets tough, they're not the best player because they're the two.
But they're not a deer in headlights
but
either.
They're damn healthy.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, get into more Saints talk. Also, Zion Williamson spoke after the Pels lost last game. We'll hear what he had to say. Pels getting ready to take on the Golden State Warriors again tonight. You can hear that on WWL. It's a 9 o'clock tip-off, 8:30 pregame coverage, starting right here, AM, FM, 870, 105.3. We'll be right back after this on WWL. All right, who wants to win tickets to the next Saints home game versus Atlanta? Those Dirty Birds coming to the Caesars Superdome. You can score two premium tickets to the game team, plus a pair of VIP tailgate tickets for Bullseye Event Group, open bar with premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning so easy, just go to WWL.com/contest. Enter for your chance to win tickets to the Saints battle against Atlanta from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints, and Saints Radio WWL. We're going to take a break. Come back with some Saints audio right after this here on WWL. Checking in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870 if you were wondering. Seeing here from 1851, Cullen, if only there was a veteran QB on the Saints roster we could have retained. Well, things didn't end so well with Jameis Winston here last season. As we remember,
yeah,
the famous Week 18 game, Week 17 game against the Falcons.
Yeah,
you know, not listening to head coach will definitely get you sent out of town. I know a lot of Saints fans don't really care about that, considering it was against the Falcons. You were lined up in victory formation, and they still end up plowing into the end zone. I don't have a problem with running up the score on your opponent. I do have a problem with doing it out of the victory formation, because if you played football or you watch football, you just know football, you know it's basically nobody's trying there. Everyone's kind of giving up, and then you go and run a play. There could have been a case where you have an injury with someone, and that's not cool. I don't care about the running up the score and it being against the Falcons, but yeah, I don't want to get anybody hurt either on a nonsense play.
No, it's waving the white flag and then taking advantage of the situation.
Right, ha-ha, fooled you.
Down. Yeah, and it's you know, I saw some comparisons of it this weekend with the did you see the quote that Sean Payton had?
Right.
And about how, like, it's the NFL, just be better. Like, he wanted to run up
I
the
saw
score
that too.
Against
it's
the Panthers.
It's totally different.
And I was like, it is. It is kind of different, but you know, you don't, like, you just it's different. You just
right,
don't.
I wasn't pretending to take a knee and then getting right into the end zone.
There
so.
Was no, you know, trick of, like, you know, of, again, like the phrase I used, waving the white flag and then, you know, saying, ha-ha, we're not going to do this, and take advantage of the situation.
As for this texter, I'm pretty sure they're obviously mentioning what Jameis Winston was able to do against the Baltimore Ravens. Kudos to Cleveland, man.
Big weekend.
Able to take down the Ravens 29-24. Definitely didn't see that coming.
No.
Winston going 27 of 41 passing, 334 yards, 3 TDs, ends up with a QB rating of 115.3. So shout out to Jameis for that performance. He even got AFC Player of the Week honors, for crying out loud.
Did he have a turnover at all?
No turnover, unless there was a fumble in that. Oh, he did lose a fumble in that matchup.
But still, I mean, like, that is
no interceptions.
And that was the whole issue with him down here, is that, like, Winston's the kind of guy, I always heard the quote I loved, is that Winston's the kind of guy, it was something akin to this. He's the kind of guy, he will make throws you have never seen because he throws things you have never seen. He will do the attempts. I remember last year, it was against the Vikings game, where he was running to the opposite side of the field as Olave, I want to say, twisted his body and threw it, like, it was like a 20-yard pass, but because he was throwing it from one end of the field to the other, basically the left side of the field to the right side of the end zone, it was like a 60-yard pass, even though it only went 20 yards. And it's like, he will do the things that you might not have ever seen, but that's because he's making the decisions you wouldn't make.
God's plan, like he said to Sean Payton after that one touchdown. What was it, to Marquez Callaway that game? But you look at the next matchup for Jameis and the Browns is going to be against the L.A. Chargers, and then they'll have a bye week, and then it's the New Orleans Saints in the Dome on November 17th. Looking forward to that one. One of my preseason wishes was to have Jameis Winston under center to play the Saints for a little bit of a spicy matchup in the Superdome in that one. And it's looking like that's going to come true. So I need to use my wishes a lot better.
It's coming at a good time for him. And we'll have the bye week right after. We've got Jarry Evans, a Hall of Fame induction to the Saints that week, I believe. Unless I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's being inducted during that game as well.
I'd have to double check on that. I'm not positive.
I want to say I am. You'll hold me to it in the next hour. But, again, the texter is kind of right, though. I understand the tongue-in-cheek message, but, like, I will say that, do you think we'll chase, like, a veteran QB presence this offseason, maybe, or...
It'd be possible. I don't know what you're going to do with the Spencer Rattler / Jake Haener situation. I don't know if you end up retaining both of them and try to keep developing them with another year over or with Derek Carr around or not, or if the Saints end up, you know, heading back to the draft looking for a quarterback. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
That is a conversation for March, my friend. That is
sadly right now. I've been seeing stuff. Obviously, people doing mock drafts already, and I've seen if the season ended today, because that's ridiculous. We know it won't. We're just heading into week 9. But if it did, the Saints would have the 6th overall selection in the NFL draft right now.
I just checked. I pulled up Tankathon. We are 6th. We are 6th right now. And because, again, it goes just for everybody out there, it goes by record, and then on record it goes by strength of schedule. So we are 2-6, and so are the Jets and the Patriots, but they've got an easier strength of schedule. So that is why they're in Jacksonville. So that's why they're 3-4-5. We're currently 6. Browns are 8. So we're already in the top. I think, like, before last week's game, we were, like, 8 or 9 or something like that.
Well, the big thing, too, obviously sitting at number 1 right now is those good old Carolina Panthers once again. And that's why this game, going into this game this week, whether it's going to be Derek Carr or not at quarterback, you're in a situation where this is a must-win game for your team, for your players, for your franchise, just because of, like you mentioned, when we talked to Brad Evans in the 5 o'clock hour, how lowly this Carolina Panthers team is right now. And I think Jeff Nowak had a great statement with it. We'll be talking to him next hour. Mm-hmm. He's like, he basically looks like the Carolina Panthers as that free space in Bingo. I thought that was brilliant.
That's a good way to put it. They should be. I mean, Brad was talking about how, and you know, Vegas has us a 7.5-point favorites right now, and he was like, Mike was like, isn't that a little high? And no, it should be higher. Like, the Panthers are terrible. He compared them to, I kid you not, he was like, in the MAC conference in college football, they'll still be middle of the pack. And I love that, because of that sentiment you always hear about, like, could the best college football team beat the worst NFL team? And it's like, right now, hell yeah. I'd take Oregon over the Panthers right now. I'd take Texas over the Panthers right now.
They have definitely struggled offensively, defensively, sitting in the bottom of the league. Not good for them, and definitely that's a situation for this Saints squad right now. Like I said, I don't care who's playing, who's banged up or not. Even the backups for the black and gold should beat this Panthers squad right now. I am happy to see Bryce Young still retaining the quarterback spot, the QB1 spot for Carolina, because, Andy Dalton is that savvy vet that could come in and cause some problems. Looking at the Panthers squad, though, there really is not much else there.
They just gave away their best wide receiver. I mean, come on.
We'll take a break when we get back. Some audio and also Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak after the news break here on WWL.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.